Hey everyone, welcome to episode 31 of My 123 Cents, the podcast. I am your host, Kevin Huntsperger, and today's guest is Farmer Billy Hills, an independent wrestler who I met several years ago. I say several years ago, I guess it was about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, through my work with All American Pro Wrestling, and I was always impressed with Farmer's work ethic, his work inside the ring for a bigger guy, as well as his work behind the scenes and his attitude. And we're going to talk more about that in this show because he has put together a fundraising wrestling event for a young boy in the area of Southern Illinois for July. It's happening on July 26th, and we'll go into more details, but basically he and a group of wrestlers, including Trevor Murdoch, former WWE Tag Team Champion, coming to this area to do this fundraiser for the boy who needs a service dog. He is losing his eyesight, he has autism, and so Farmer and his friends are coming together to raise some money for this family in need. And that's what I like about his spirit, and the spirit of independent wrestling in general. There are a lot of shows that end up becoming fundraisers or benefits for those who are in need, and it just really says a lot, in my opinion, about Farmer's character and his personality and who he is as a man outside of the wrestling business. And we'll also talk a little bit about his family. He is the nephew of the late, great Eddie Gilbert. So I'm looking forward to sharing that interview with you here in a few minutes. But I do want to take care of a few notes before we get to the Farmer interview. And the big thing I'm going to talk about right now, and we'll talk more about Chad and I will talk more about on the My 123 Cents blog page, is Jeff Jarrett reappearing with TNA and appearing and wrestling in that King of the Mountain match at the Slammiversary event. Now, of course, I am recording this before Slammiversary, and I'm not able to react to what happened, but we will have reaction on the My 123 Cents page, so be sure to check that out. But to me, folks, this is, and I think it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out, this is obviously bigger than just Jeff Jarrett coming back for a one-off match. There are rumors and speculation that he is buying a stake in TNA as he works to build the Global Force Wrestling brand. I tend to believe that may be the case. There's something going on here. This is more than just a one-shot appearance with TNA. And I'm curious and I'm interested to see where this goes. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but I hope that it's a well-plotted and thought-out plan, no matter what happens, whether he is getting involved with TNA once again. TNA, of course, having some trouble with their provider. I believe it's in September when they lose their spot on Destination America. So maybe joining forces with Global Force would make sense. If everybody kind of focuses on the common goal and not in it to win it all by themselves. And, you know, there'll never be anyone to overthrow WWE, but I think that there's definitely room for someone to move up the ladder and be a better alternative. Because right now, I've argued before, NXT is the best alternative to WWE right now, and it's owned by WWE. So anyway, we'll get more into that on the website at my123cents.com. Loki also, speaking of TNA, has announced that he's leaving the company. He was at the last set of tapings, and I guess once those go off the air, he's out. I'm not exactly sure what the issues are there, but he is going to be going on his own. I'm imagining maybe back overseas, or will wrestle independently here in the United States. Rumors are also abound that Daniel Bryan, his injuries are much more severe than what we have been led to believe. A lot of concussion issues, and that he may be done with his in-ring career, which I certainly hope is not the case, but we've said it here before. Whatever's best for Daniel Bryan's health is what we're hoping for and wishing for. So we wish him nothing but the best as he continues to recover, and we'll see what happens with him. I know he's a part of Tough Enough, which has debuted on the USA Network, so be sure to check that out. Also, Eric Rowan is out. Originally, it was announced for 4 to 6 months, but apparently he has suffered a torn bicep, and there's speculation now that he won't be back before the end of the year. So He's on the shelf for the rest of 2015, perhaps. I'm not sure how long Tyson Kidd is out. Jey Uso, of course, is out. That's three halves of three tag teams, three great tag teams, in my opinion, that were, you know, it seemed as if the WWE was rebuilding the tag team ranks, and or at least trying to, and now we've taken a huge step back with the Wyatt family, Kidd and Cesaro, and the Usos out of action. So we may be getting a lot of New Day versus primetime players in the coming weeks, but hopefully WWE has a plan and will work to get some more tag teams developed and working. And perhaps this is a good news for somebody on the NXT roster, a tag team on the NXT roster to climb up the ranks. So we certainly do hope that and wish that everyone who is recovering right now the very best on their roads to recovery. And I'm going to end on a sad note, or an even sadder note, I suppose. The passing of Nature Boy Buddy Landell. He died as a result of a car accident. And if you don't know who Buddy Landell is or don't remember him from his heyday of the early to mid-80s, he was a part of the NWA, and I believe he wrestled briefly with Bill Watts, Mid-South Wrestling. Wrestled all over the world, and a very outspoken person. I found the other day the Colt Cabana Art of Wrestling podcast where he interviewed Buddy Landell back in February. Go back and listen to that if you have not, and reacclimate yourself or get to know Buddy Landell, because he tells some great stories. And it's very interesting perspective of a time in wrestling history that I really loved. That old NWA, you know, Ric Flair, Tully Blanchard, Dusty Rhodes. There's some great stories about some of the relationships and some of the things that happened with him and those individuals. And, you know, he will be sorely missed. I know that he was making a little bit of a comeback of sorts on the legend side of things, appearing at some of these independent shows and whatnot, WrestleCon. So our thoughts and prayers go out to Buddy Landell's family, friends, and fans. So keep them in your mind and in your heart and prayers as you choose to do so. So that is what's going on right now in the world of professional wrestling, at least from what I've observed over the last 7 days or so. Want to hear from you? Be sure to check us out on Twitter at my123cents or my Twitter handle at Kevin Huntsperger. I love taking questions, comments, if you love the show, if you hate the show, whatever. But sit back, enjoy the ride, and stay tuned now for the Farmer, Billy Hills.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsperger.
Woo!
My days with All American Pro Wrestling, I saw and did a lot of amazing things. And one of the things I did was took a trip to Mudlick, Kentucky, the hometown of our guest. And I'm not even sure, Farmer Billy Hills, can we call Mudlick, Kentucky, a town? Is it a town?
It's a nice little, I guess we couldn't really call it a little suburbia, but yeah, it's its own little outspurt town, I guess you could say. There's about 1,500 of us, and we're all related. So, yeah.
I'm still a bit traumatized after the horse bite while I was there doing that segment down on the farm with you. But
I'm still sorry about that.
I see horses and I wince a little bit. But
yeah, I don't blame you.
It's great talking to you. I haven't seen you in forever, it seems like.
Yes, it has been a long time.
And I know that
that last Pro Wrestling Collision show, if I remember correctly.
Which was, gosh, almost two years ago. It's been 2 years now. Wow. Time certainly does fly. Fans who are listening who are from the Southern Illinois area know who you are, and that you do wrestle more than just in the Southern Illinois and Mudlick, Kentucky areas. But, Billy, talk to us about who you are. When did you get your start, and where can fans see you?
Of course, yes. A little bit about myself. As Kevin said, my name is Farmer Billy Hills. I am, as he said, from Mudlick, Kentucky. I actually got my start at a little company down south called, of course, it's no longer with us, but the company was called New Blood Wrestling. It was for just a bunch of upstart young kids that were just young and hungry, hence the word New Blood. And we, I'm trying to think how long. I think the training was about 3 to 6 months and everything before we kind of got thrown into the mix of things. Being just, you know, okay, you've had good training for this amount of time, so hop on in there. Let's see what you got. And ever since then, I have been wrestling pretty much anywhere that would have me. As you alerted to, it's not just the Southern Illinois area. I go all over Mississippi, Chicago. I mean, anywhere that will have me, I'm more than willing to go to. I think actually we just possibly inked the deal to head down towards Alabama for the second weekend in July. So if that's a test to, you know, how far I'm willing to go. And I'm also willing to go further.
And you are quite the traveler with professional wrestling. And what inspired you, or what made you want to get involved? Was there an individual? Was there a company? What made young Billy Hills want to leave the farm and head to the wrestling ring?
Yes, it was a VHS box. As odd as that sounds, it was a VHS box, Kevin. Parents took me to a VHS store in town to rent something to watch because it was the weekend. You know, school was out, needed something to do. As I'm walking down the aisle trying to find something, I see this just humongous gentleman on the cover of it, draped in an American flag with an American bandana, in yellow trunks, yellow Fu Manchu, blonde hair, just muscle-bound man with just this, you know, look on his face of just, you know, I don't care, I mean, I'm going to beat it up. I will succeed. I will win. And sure enough, it was actually the box for the WrestleMania where Hulk Hogan faced Sergeant Slaughter for the WWF Heavyweight Championship. And that box, that picture, is what got me hooked on professional wrestling. I hadn't seen a match. I knew who nobody was. None of that. It was just that picture, that VHS box cover that Ving or whoever had put together, it hooked my eye, caught my attention, and it's been kind of off to the races ever since. I found Memphis Wrestling soon after that with my dad, and I always wondered on Saturday mornings why he would be yelling at the TV and why this would be waking me up. And I would never go in there because he was yelling. You know, I'm like, uh-oh. There's a fight going on in there. I don't want to go in there. I'd wait till it would cool off, and then I would go, you know, have breakfast or go play outside, whatever it may be. And I would never ask, you know, why were you yelling? Because I'm like, it's none of my business. I don't want to know. It's okay. But then, you know, he seen that I brought home wrestling to watch. He let me watch it. And then the next morning, he actually woke me up for wrestling. And I realized why he would be yelling at the TV, why he would yell at Bill Dundee for cheap-shotting Jerry Lawler during his interview time and things of the sorts. And yeah, weird way to kind of get hooked on it. You know, just a photo, I guess you could say. But that's kind of what drew me in, now, VHS box.
Did you become then a Hulkamaniac? Because this was nearly 25 years ago from WrestleMania 7. Yes. Were you a Hulkamaniac all through that time?
I was through that time. And honestly, you know, it wasn't too much longer after that that, you know, for me, Hulkamania went away. Because as we all know, I think it was after WrestleMania 10 that he kind of jumped and went over to WCW. If I remember correctly, it was somewhere about that time. And my parents, they didn't have cable or anything, so I didn't know any other product besides Memphis and, you know, the World Wrestling Federation. So I just figured he retired and left. So, of course, I got hooked on to other characters. Be it, you know, your Shawn Michaels, your Bret Harts, Razor Ramones, Diesels, Vader, Undertaker at the time, because, you know, I really, really, really enjoyed, like, his match, you know, as bad as it was against the Giant Gonzalez at I think it was WrestleMania 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. You know, so having, like, all that and everything is, you know, kind of, I would say, stirred me away a little bit from Hulkamania whenever Hulkamania left us. So I was there for a couple of years, but after that, no, not so much. But of course, you know, I got to, you know, catch up with Hulkamania again during the NWO days whenever I finally, you know, figured out what cable was, and I begged my parents to get it just to where I could, you know, watch, you know, what was turning into the Monday Night Wars and everything. But for a couple of years, yes, I was a Hulkamaniac.
That's awesome. So tell me also, you talked about New Blood wrestling that you did. What got you there? When did you decide? Was it that first day that you saw the Hulkamania or the Hulk Hogan WrestleMania cover that you knew then that you wanted to get involved in the world of professional wrestling? Or was there another moment that you said, I'm going all in here and I'm going to get in the ring and do this?
Oh, yeah. As soon as I seen the very first match, I'm like, there's nothing else in life that I want to do. There's nothing, like, this is it. And even still to this day, I have no backup plan.
Wow.
You know, it's wrestling, and I'm very narrow-minded whenever it comes to this. It's wrestling. That's it. And how I kind of got introduced to it on this level and everything, one of my best friends, he did, you know, the whole I guess it was the MySpace at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Facebook wasn't a thing just yet, and he actually found one of the wrestlers that wrestled at that show, New Blood.
Mm-hmm.
And they started talking and everything, and, you know, they kind of worked out some details. He's like, hey, me and, you know, my friend, we have this humongous common bond of loving wrestling. We want to get into wrestling, and we'll do whatever it takes to get in. And he's like, that sounds fantastic. Let's meet on this day. Let's go over there, and let's have our first day of training on this day. This is how much it's going to be, and we agreed to every single term he had, and before you know it, within 72 hours, we were in a ring.
Wow.
It was that quick. And lucky enough, he lived 5 minutes away from us in the town, and we had absolutely no idea.
That's really cool. So, I'm going to take you back here for a minute, because...
Sure.
You had some great matches with All American Pro Wrestling and with Pro Wrestling Collision. My fondest memory of you, other than my visit to the farm there in Mudlick, was back in January 2012. AAPW was putting on a big show, and Colt Cabana, Matt Cross, El Generico, and a guy named Pac, who we now know as Neville in WWE, were there.
Yes,
and
there was.
I remember I was wrestling that night, but I was also doing commentary and helping with the setup and whatnot. And I had been in the back locker room talking to guys and making sure everything was going the way it was supposed to be. And I remember walking out to where the arena was set up and the ring was set up. And in the ring, I saw you and Pac just talking, and you know, he was showing you some stuff, and you, I don't know what the conversation was, but the look on your face, the look on his face, you looked like a sponge just absorbing everything you could that he was telling you and showing you. Talk to me about that experience and how it feels now, 3 years later, that this guy is an international, even bigger international superstar now.
Of course. Pretty much, I was in the ring. I was just, as we all know, I'm a big guy. So, you know, I need to stretch my body. I need to keep my body as limber as possible to keep from injuring myself and somebody else. So at that particular moment, whenever you see me, I was actually in the ring stretching and kind of getting, you know, ready, getting my body limber and everything. Well, I seen him come through the curtain and everything, and he started walking towards the ring. He hopped up on the apron. He was like, "Hey, do you mind if I, you know, get in here and I stretch myself?" I'm like, "Please, by all means, please get in here." And, you know, as soon as he hopped in, I'm like, "Before you even start, do you mind if, you know, I pick your brain while you stretch and while you show me some stretches and things like that?" Because as you can tell, you know, we're the same height almost, but I'm three times the size you are. You know, so I need all the stretching tips that you have in your head now in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we all know, and as we watch him now on WWE TV, he is just, you know, he's rubber. He's kind of like our new Rob Van Dam. He can just bounce and, you know, do all this stuff with, you know, pretty much ease and, you know, limited injury. You know, and that, of course, all goes back to proper training and, you know, just stretches and things like that to stay limber. So that's pretty much what I was, you know, digging into his mind and picking his brain for. And, of course, there was, you know, other things, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, how's life? You know, the accoutrements just to kind of get out of the way, you know, before I just dove right in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of wanted to get, you know, those technicalities and everything out of the way with, and that way I didn't seem just like, you know, this huge, you know, I don't want to say jerk or anything by any means, but, you know, just, I didn't want to be that guy that would just, you know, "Hey, I don't have a name, but can I talk to you?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted him to, if anything, you know, remember he had a fantastic match and remember me being the only guy to come up and talk to him and try and pick his brain the entire night. And hopefully, you know, that would take me, you know, somewhere. Because, I mean, anytime anybody talks about that night, they talk about your match, they talk about Ed's, and then they talk about remembering me in the ring with, you know, Pac that night.
Mm-hmm.
Those are three things everybody remembers from that evening. So, you know, everything that I wanted to get accomplished got accomplished. I was able to learn from somebody as great as him. I was with a great company, great locker room, and everything that evening. So, yeah, it was nothing really major, just, you know, basic things and just how to stretch and keep my body properly limber and just learn some new techniques and everything for that.
And, you know, obviously, being on a show like that, an independent show, and we're going to dig deeper into the independent wrestling scene here in a second, but
of course,
Watching Generico and Pac where they are now today,
yes.
Does that give you any kind of renewed encouragement? Or, you know, when you see these guys who were working shows where sometimes there may have been 12 or 15 or 20 people in the audience, and now they're, you know, on this grand stage, does that give any sort of inspiration to you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's the huge, it's the biggest inspiration some of us can get down here on this level, especially if you follow it as close as we do. Seeing those guys and even, you know, working shows on those guys, with those guys, I mean, and some of us getting, you know, sort of kind of, you know, close with them to finally see them get up there to that level. Of course, starting with NXT and just seeing just how great they do there and just how great that product is right now. And then finally see them get caught up to the
you know, to the main roster, it's just like, that's fantastic. That can be me. If they can do it, you know, I can do it if I set myself on a right path that they did too.
Indie wrestling is
the same. They had to have done something right, something along their path. They had to do something right, and I need to, you know, follow what they did.
And really, up until about the time that I got involved with AAPW behind the scenes, I was ignorant about independent wrestling. I was, I didn't know much, if anything, about it, and I was kind of cynical about it, quite honestly. It opened my eyes being involved with that to the men and women who, you know, are busting their asses, on a show. They're working hard, you know, before the show even starts, whether it's with the setup, whether it's at their other, you know, full-time job that they do, whether it's with their family, raising their children. And then they come out and entertain. And there were nights that I saw some guys maybe walk away with less than what they thought they were going to receive, or, maybe nothing at all. And I know that that didn't happen often, but sometimes maybe those were the circumstances that they were facing. So it takes a lot of heart and effort and a special person, in my opinion, to lace up the boots and step through that through those ropes and put their bodies on the line week in and week out, or, you know, day in and day out for very little pay.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It does. It takes a very different kind of human being to be able to go out there every single night, and with every single bump that we take is like getting hit by a car at 35 miles an hour. It's scientifically proven. That's the scientific facts that I can give you. Every single bump we take, no matter how close to the mat it is, how high, whatever it may be, it's like getting hit by a car at 35 miles per hour. So anybody that, you know, has aspirations to get in this business, keep that in mind, you know, and you're going to have to be a very strong individual, and you have to have a, you know, you either have to be very strong or you have to have a very good support system.
I would imagine, you know, that's very important. And I don't know how deep you want to dig into this, but wrestling is in your family.
Yes, actually it is, and I don't mind digging into it one bit. I just, you know, kind of like we've talked about it before, that's how you know. I do have as far as the South goes, I do have a very strong, you know, family credentials in this business. And the only reason why, very few people know about this is because I don't want to use it to my advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I easily could. I could easily go around, boast around, hey, I'm, you know, blah, 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 you know, a part of this family and, you know, those things, and get myself booked wherever I wanted to. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to use their work to ease my way by.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go out there. I want to lay the groundwork for me, not, you know, use somebody else's work. I want to put in the legwork. I want to put in the blood, the sweat, the tears, the miles, the missing birthdays, the missing, you know, recitals, concerts, whatever it may be. I want to lay that. You know, I don't want to use my family's, you know, miles and heartbreak and aches and pains and things. And not everybody is going to know who they are, but if you follow wrestling close enough, you will know who the Gilberts are. Hot Stuff Eddie, and, you know, everybody will know who that is, especially if you have the WWE Network for $9.99, you can watch any of the ECW documentaries that they have up there, and, you know, Paul Heyman talks about my Uncle Eddie quite a bit in the early days of ECW, and learning from him, and just like everybody else who had encountered him before he passed away. Now, you know, he was just a great learning tree to be under.
He's been gone for 20 years. I think it's 20 years this year.
Yes.
And I don't know exactly how old you are. You weren't obviously wrestling at that time. You said it was like a learning tree. Were you able, though, to pick up any lessons from Eddie then?
Honestly, I was only 7 years old by the time you know, I was introduced to him from birth up until I was seven. I think I was almost 8 years old whenever Uncle Eddie actually passed.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I've heard just all the stories about just a learning tree, you know. If you could ever get into settle down and actually, you know, get in, you know, to talk and break open and actually talk to you, he was a fantastic learning tree to be under. But he, along with myself, you know, and this just, it honestly just kind of runs in our bloodline, we're very hard to get that done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes a lot to kind of get us broken open for us to finally open up and really talk to somebody because, you know, like I've heard, you know, my Uncle Doug talk about, you know, why stick your neck out for somebody that might not stick theirs out for you?
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, and that's just the way that this business is, too. It's very cutthroat.
Yeah.
So.
And he was, in my opinion, ahead of his time in terms of his talent.
Yes.
And definitely one of the most underrated guys and definitely taken from us way too soon. I think if he were still with us, he would still have some sort of involvement in the business, whether it's, you know, working with WWE, with training and whatnot. Yes. Or
I could see him easily being a road agent, kind of like your Arn Anderson, and so I could easily see him being in that role.
Yeah, he
very easily.
Sorely missed, and a talent, and as Billy mentioned, head to the WWE Network or even YouTube and check out the work of Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert. I remember fondly watching him, especially in the old UWF days, where I think he really started to shine on a more national stage, so to speak. At least,
yes.
Living in St. Louis, we were able to pick up that promotion. Now, Farmer, we talked about the importance of independent wrestling as it kind of being a foundation for what we're seeing mm-hmm. on the grander stage. One of the things I love about independent wrestling is, number one, the intimacy of the crowd and the relationship that they have with the wrestlers and the managers and the announcers and the referees and whatnot. The other thing I love about it is the willingness to give back. And we mentioned, you know, small paydays or sometimes not getting paid at all, driving hundreds of miles and, you know, not getting the trans money or whatever. You guys are giving back, and that's part of the reason why I wanted to have you on the show, too, is you have a big show coming up in Harrisburg, Illinois, and we'll have all the information on the website, the jitterymonkey.com site, as well as my123cents.com. But you're doing this show for a little boy named Danton who has autism, and you're raising money to get him a service dog. So talk about that show and why you guys are getting involved.
It's, you know, I have no idea who these people are. I want to put that out there firsthand. I have no idea who they are, so it's also kind of, you know, hard for me to talk about besides the few things that I know. But this is what I can kind of tell you the story about why I'm doing this. The local Walgreens here in town where I live is where I go to get, like, my promo pictures and stuff printed off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like to outsource it on some, you know, internet website. I like to do things like that here in town, if possible. Well, one day as I go in there, there is Danton. He's sitting in a chair, and he's, like, nose to the monitor, you know, looking at it and everything. And I'm like, okay, that's a little different, but okay, you know, that's fine. And, you know, then, you know, his autism and a few other things start kicking in. You can kind of tell, okay, so that's, you know, that's why, you know, he was kind of, you know, doing what he was doing and everything. Well, they get up and they get their pictures and everything printed off, and they go to check out and leave. Well, after they leave, I talk to some of the employees. I'm like, what's his story? You know, because most of us are on a first name basis because mm-hmm. I'm in there so often getting pictures and everything else done. So we're all mostly there on a first name basis. And Tia, one of the ladies there, she's like, well, his name is Danton. And as you could, you know, probably tell, he was severely autistic. Well, back on Thanksgiving of this past year, 2014, he just randomly started losing his eyesight for absolutely no reason whatsoever. they had no idea why, just randomly started losing his eyesight and just gaining tons of weight. Also, well, they started running tests, and they finally found out that, if I can remember right, I believe it was like a glandular problem, if I remember correctly, that was causing it. And they said that they can go in and do surgery, but there's really no guarantee that it would work. But the family, his mom and dad, they both agreed to go ahead and at least give it a try.
Uh-huh.
So, go in for surgery and everything, and it unfortunately does not work.
Mm.
Actually, I think it's called a sphenoid wing. It's pretty much, it's a bone overgrowth is actually what it is.
Okay.
And yeah, it just, his sight never came back. Well, he has since, if I remember correctly, I think he has lost all the vision in his left eye and only has about 30% left in his right eye. So they got a hold of some of the people that do the service dogs and everything here locally, and even at a discounted price, you know, for the most part of what they could do, the absolute bare minimums is $13,500.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, us, you know, not having the problems that Danton does or other people do, we don't know these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm sitting in the stool, you know, doing my pictures and everything, I'm almost floored. I'm like, $13,000 for a dog? I can go to Paul's here in town and get him one for $70, and we can teach it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some stuff. But of course, I know that that's not all that goes, you know, to training one of these dogs. But that's just like very first just thing to pop into my head. And I start looking into it more, and I found the GoFundMe account and everything, and I seen where it had been up for X amount of days, and they were about halfway through getting the $13,000 that they needed, and it had kind of plateaued, it almost stopped. And that's when I'm like, okay, so it's been up here for this amount of days, and this was the last day that, because it shows these things, this is the last day that anything was donated. Okay, this is, you know, we got to do something to get that number moving again. You know, we've got to, there's got to be something that, you know, us as a community can get together and do. So that's where, you know, it pops into my head, okay, well, let's freaking put on a wrestling show for him. Let's try and, you know, get the GoFundMe account going. Let's try and just do anything to get, you know, those numbers rolling again. So I got with Danton's mom. Her name is Julie. And I'm like, you know, my name is, you know, Billy Hills, and I'm interested in helping you raise money for Danton to go towards his seeing eye dog. I'm like, I know you have no idea who I am, and you won't remember me from this day, but I seen you guys in, you know, Walgreens doing your photos and everything, because come to find out, before he lost his vision, he was an excellent photographer.
Oh, wow.
He was really good at photography, and he would always like to take, you know, pictures of, you know, veggie tales and things like that. Also, you know, like little screen captures and stuff. And that's another thing, you know, that kind of, you know, caught me. It's like, man, I really got to, you know, just get this ball going, because, you know, there were so many things that, you know, we take for granted that, you know, he was still able to do, you know, can't do now. So I'm just like, I've got to do something, you know, even though I have no idea who these people are, you know, but I just feel, and they have no idea what wrestling is, you know. His grandmother, we met one day at a Walgreens and everything, just to kind of, you know, talk and chit chat, because she was kind of, you know, lean, you know, kind of hesitant mm-hmm. about, you know, letting wrestling and her, you know, her grandson and everything kind of, you know, and I just, we talked for, I know it was a good 30 to 45 minutes. And by the end of that conversation, she was just, you know, hook, line, sinker, and ready to just dive in and do whatever she possibly could to help. And without their help, you know, this thing has been, you know, derailed a couple of times due to, you know, just some of the venues just not working out for me at all. But I got really lucky in the Harrisburg police chief, Whipper, he actually has a gym in Harrisburg that he donated for us on this night, which is Sunday, July 26th. He donated his whole gym, his own personal gym, to us to use for this, which we've actually used in a shop with a cop benefit before, which was very, very successful. We raised, I think it was over, oh, I know it was over $1,000 that night. So I'm hoping to get, you know, about the same, you know, maybe even more for this one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, like I said, that's just a little bit of the few things that, you know, I know, and it's, I wish it was more. But that's just, you know, kind of the story that I've been given, and kind of the story about how I got, you know, into wanting to do this and helping this family that I have no clue who they are from the next person walking down the street. It's a great cause, you know, and I love whenever, you know, wrestling can throw all of the backstage politics and all the drama that goes with it, can just throw it out the door for one night for people that we don't even know, for us to pay them back for all the times that they paid us, even though, you know, as you alerted to, there's some nights where we don't get paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still the fact that in these times where some people can't even afford something off of a dollar menu, they still take that money, come to shows and support us. You know, it's for times like these that, you know, I'm glad to be able to give back to them.
And former WWE Tag Team Champion Trevor Murdoch is among the guys who are going to be on that card.
Yes. Yes, he is. He was very, very excited whenever I approached him about doing this one for me and everything. He was very, very excited about being able to come down and do this show with us. I mean, I got, of course, a bunch of the local talents that some guys will know. Heath Hatton.
Mm-hmm.
I got Heath involved. And, of course, like you said, there's Trevor, myself, Zach Sawyers. I'm not sure if you ever met Spencer Wallace. He's actually George Jr., George the Animal Steel Jr.'s son.
Yeah. Okay.
Spencer. And quite a, you know, I don't want to give too many more names away. You know, I want it to kind of be a, you know, a bit of a surprise to the people that come. So, but there's a few guys. There's Trevor Murdoch, myself, Zach Sawyers, Heath Hatton, the Animal, Spencer Wallace. Yeah, that's quite a few of the names that I have lined up. And I mean, I have a pretty, you know, kind of, as we say in this business, an overbooked card. You know, I kind of had quite a few matches lined up for this evening because I've had such an outpouring from other wrestlers wanting to come in and do this show for the cause that it's for,
mm-hmm.
and everything. And I'm one of those guys, you know, I will not turn anybody away. You know, if they want to come help in any way that they can, whether it be wrestle, whatever it may be, I will not turn anybody away. Even if it's not wrestling related, I'm still that way. I can't not help somebody. It's just not in me.
Well, that's what I love about you, Farmer.
Yeah.
Let folks know how they can reach out to you on social media. Kind of plug the ways to contact you.
Of course. One of the best ways to contact me is actually through Facebook. Facebook Messenger works great for me. You know, I know it doesn't for some, but yeah, it actually works very well for me. So that's one of the best ways too. But of course, I have other social networks also, which is one of them that we're talking on, which is Skype. You can find me on there at Farmer Billy Hills 05. Instagram, I'm on there at FBH05. I'm on Boxer, FBH05, on there also. Twitter is the same, FBH05. I'm even on I even blog things on the old Tumblr machine. I'm FBH05 on there. Snapchat, because if you follow me on Instagram, you know, I take a lot of pictures. And I do the old Snapchat machine too, at FBH05. So, yeah, I'm on pretty much most of the major social media sites, and I am sharing the event, which I'm calling A Night for Danton, of course, which is July 26th, 7 p.m. in Harrisburg. The actual address is 104 West McHaney Street. And, yeah, just I don't have the actual GoFundMe account name and everything right here in front of me. I'm horrible.
You know what?
For
I'll
it.
Find that and we'll link it up to the website.
Yes, please. Thank
after
you.
This
because I just have the actual, you know, info and everything just kind of, you know, written down in the notebook in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have most everything already written in there, and I don't have everything right here in front of me because I'm actually sitting, you know, out of my tractor right now talking to you, kind of taking a quick break.
Sweet.
to give a talk to you about my little history and what we have going on here in the area for wrestling again, because as you and I both know, there hasn't been any wrestling in Southern Illinois for a while. So not only is it for a great cause, it's, you know, bringing wrestling back for at least, you know, one night.
Yeah.
In the area.
That's good. That sounds good to me. Farmer, I appreciate you taking the time, and I appreciate what you're doing for this family and what you're doing for the business. This is, like you said, a good thing for our community and a good thing to get the men and women involved in local wrestling out and in front of folks as well.
Yes, and I thank you for giving me the time to come and ramble on about, you know, myself and this great cause for this great young man and their family. I appreciate you, you know, giving me the time to, you know, do my rants and talk about them. I greatly appreciate it, Kevin. It's
yes,
always
sir.
Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you as well, and good luck on the 26th, and I will try to make it out
thank
there myself
Kevin.
And see you guys.
Yes, thank you. I will reserve you a seat front row, sir.
All righty. Have a great day.
Thanks, Kevin. You also, sir.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye, Billy.
Bye, sir.
There you have it, fans. Farmer Billy Hills, an independent wrestler who got his start in Mudlick, Kentucky, and climbed the ranks and made it all around the country right now and putting on a great benefit show again. We'll have all those links, A Night for Danton, on the JitteryMonkey.com page as well as My123Cents.com. Folks, as always, thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to share this show, rate, review it on iTunes, and let your friends and family know about the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network and all the great shows you can hear right here.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.